one of Jimmy Garoppolo's ex-teammates sticking up for him and the value he brings to a locker room. Is Alex Mack going to return in 2022? Maybe that is not as rock solid as we once thought. Blockbuster trade happening in the NFL, and Kroc responds to his haters, all coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker. With you here once again at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. You can see that on the screen if you're with us on YouTube. If you are not, we appreciate you just the same. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. This episode brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Thanks, everybody, for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Kroc, a lot going on in the NFL. It always is. It seems like every week there's a reason to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. We've got our weekly Jimmy Garoppolo conversation, I think, coming up today. And it kind of ties into some other things. I know you've ticked off a few fans with your take on Frank Gore not being just a slam dunk Hall of Famer. And I know you want to defend yourself a little bit. To some of the feedback you've gotten, I'm sure, at Eric underscore Crocker, by the way. If you disagree with him, that's where you can find him on Twitter, and do not tag me in that conversation.
Make sure you talk to him.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about this because I don't think you have seen the big news about the trade yet.
I have not.
We've got a draft trade going on. It no doubt is going to be the subject of your next episode of Locked On NFL Draft. And I'm glad I can break this one down to you here. A huge trade happening in the NFL Monday. And it is, I'll just go straight to the Schefter bomb here. All caps trade. The Eagles are sending picks 16 and 19 in the first round. Number 194, that is a sixth round selection. Two, the New Orleans Saints. Four, pick number 18 in the first round. Number 101, I can see the look on your face, Kroc. This was the look I gave it to when I was reading this tweet for the first time. So the Saints are giving back to the Eagles pick number 18 in the first round this year. It's right in the middle of those two picks that they're getting back, which is just strange. Number 101, that is a third round selection. Number 237, that is a seventh round selection. And their 2023 first round pick and a 2024 second round pick. So let me break this down again.
Hold on real quick, let me try to make sure I can kind of get this whole thing sorted out.
It made me cross
Eagles lose the Eagles lose one pick but move up one spot with one of the other picks.
And they're at, for the price of, so they're swapping 18 and 19, Eagles moving up to 18, Saints moving back to 19. But the Saints are getting the 16th pick as well this year. Eagles are getting a first next year. So they're pushing off one of their first round picks this year. They have three of them. They're pushing one off.
The Eagles also pick 15th overall for a
little. And they have 15 already, right? And they're, so they're trading 16. So the Eagles are giving 16 and 19. Plus, let's just not count the sixth and seventh rounders because I don't know why they need to throw those in just to make it more difficult on everybody. The Eagles are giving up 16 and 19 in the first round this year, and they are getting back from the Saints number 18 this year, which is kind of a wash with one of those picks. Essentially, what they're doing is they're giving up 16 this year for a future first and a future second. That's what they're getting.
Here's the question.
Those picks, because they want to have an extra pick next year in case Jalen Hurts ain't the dude.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly what's yes.
Going on. Not have to That's pick it. Three times this year. And then the other stuff is just to get them there.
That's it. That's right. Now, that's an interesting trade.
Yeah. And I like that move for the – I like that. Oh, a little pickle getting into the screen over there. For those of you who don't know, Croc's daughter, nickname Pickle, is creeping into the screen. She's trying to get a little dad time right now. But what I am realizing about this trade is, first of all, I love it for the Eagles. And we talked about this on the Peacock and Bleen NFL show recently, is that it makes sense. It makes less sense for the Eagles to pick three times this year and more sense formed two times now and two times next year. And so if Jalen Hurts is the guy, you got those two extra picks to build around, you're in a great situation. If not, then you can go attack that quarterback because you've got extra picks. So it makes perfect sense from the Eagles. Love it from their standpoint. What the hell are the Saints doing right now, Kroc? They traded future first and a future second to get up to have a pick this year. So they're buying into this draft at pick number 16, and they're moving back from 18 to 19.
It's interesting to happen right now because you don't really know who will be there.
So
why couldn't you have waited until draft day? And then when you see a guy creeping into an area where it's like, okay, and you already have the handshake agreement and get it done then. Or maybe the Eagles have been actively shopping one of their picks, trying to get a pick next year. And maybe they had something else on the table, but maybe it wasn't as sweet. And the Saints had to jump on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. So when the 49ers moved up, I was critical of the 49ers moving up when they did because they weren't even done with their evaluations, right? But they moved all the way to number three, so they had a really good idea already of what was going to be there for them. They just didn't know which quarterback it was going to be that they were going to select.
I think most people felt like Zach Wilson to the Jets was 100%.
Pretty much done. Yeah, it was Lawrence and Wilson, and the 49ers knew that. So that was there was some knowledge there. This trade being so early, what are you doing getting number 16? Because now a team knows, well, if we want a quarterback, we can go to 15, right? And the Eagles can make another trade. Or you can go up to 13 with the Texans, who I'm sure will be down to move around and add some more picks. So if you're let's say the Steelers love Malik Willis, nobody takes a quarterback, and the Texans are on the clock at 13, Steelers are like, where I need to go, right? So I don't think this is it for the Saints. I feel like there's another shoe that needs to drop, but it's pretty fascinating to see a big deal like this done now. And if you're the Saints, you don't know who's on the clock yet. You don't know who's on the board. You don't know who's falling to pick 16 that you're adding. So doing it right now makes me think that it doesn't matter who's going to be there at 16 because they're not going to pick there either. I think it might be a play to go even further up, right? Because otherwise, what's going on?
Yeah, and I can see that the interesting thing here is the Saints quarterback situation is interesting. They do have Andy Dalton that they signed. And we all know they have Jameis Winston. So they gave Jameis Winston like a 2-year contract, I believe, and decent, but like nothing too crazy, like nothing right. They can't move off of. But you do have Jameis Winston, and then you get Andy Dalton to kind of be the insurance behind him. So do you throw a first round pick into the mix that you trade a lot of stuff for? Like that's the part that seems a little weird to me. So are they even trading up for a quarterback?
It might not be a quarterback, but you don't know who's going to be there. So you have to be pretty dang confident in who's going to be there at 16 and 19 for you to move up there.
I think I know.
Because if a wide receiver could be one, right? But they already
That's
had
what 18. I was thinking.
They already had 18. They were already in prime. Yeah. And in fact, they just moved back one from 18 to 19. So here's the other thing is if it's not wide receiver or if wide receiver is still in the mix with one of those two picks, what is it, an offensive tackle? Because they lost Teron Armstead. But who's tackle number four? You did all that just to get Bernard Raymond or, you know, whoever the fourth
could be like Trevor Penning, but even then there's a chance he goes top 10
or Penning. Yeah. Or like tackle five, right? You don't know who's going to be there. That's why it would make sense. If you knew the guy you liked was already on the board, then you make the trade and draft at 16 when the Eagles are on the clock. Doing it now is just very strange, which makes me feel like there's something else. There's a second part to this deal for the Saints.
Here's the one thing that's interesting to me, just about that trade and kind of the Saints. And I felt this way about the Eagles. The Eagles could take a flyer on a player that is potentially coming off of injury because they had multiple first round picks. So it's like, all right, if I draft David Ajabo at 16, well, that's okay. Because as long as I get something out of pick 15 and pick 19, then I'm good. So maybe the Saints are looking at it like, hey, we really need receiver, but okay, maybe they smooth things out with Michael Thomas. They get him back. Hey, let's draft Jameson Williams. And maybe they feel strongly that Jameson Williams will be there at pick 16, which I feel like he will be there, but I mean, you never know, especially if somebody else catches wind that they really like him. Maybe the team like the Washington Commanders are like, ah, nope, we're taking him at 11.
Many layers to that. I'm sure we'll be digging into more of what's going on with the NFL draft. And I no doubt Croc will be along with Ryan Tracy on the Locked On NFL Draft show every single day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Okay, next, we've got to talk about this. I got a shout out to Eric Branch here. Eric Branch, who's been covering the 49ers for a very long time for the San Francisco Chronicle. He reminded everybody about what John Lynch was saying about Joe Staley a couple years ago, and it's remarkably similar to what he's saying about Alex Smith right now. And as we all know,
Alex Mack.
And as we all know, Joe Staley did retire that offseason. So we'll get to that next. And what did former 49ers receiver Emmanuel Sanders have to say about his former quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo? Coming up after I let the folks out there know about betonline.net, your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information this season. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues in action currently and to be in action in the future in 2022. Yeah, there's futures bets. There is draft props on the NFL. The NFL is not playing right now, but you can still bet on the NFL all year long. The NBA season is still going. UFC, Major League Baseball getting going as well. In fact, I've got my fantasy draft tomorrow for baseball, which I am getting somewhat excited about trying to learn because I am just out of touch as it pertains to Major League Baseball. It's sad, to be honest with you. But BetOnline is your continued source for all sports wagering information, live betting, and esports and scores this season. Get over to the website right now or use your mobile device and learn more about the trends in action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL. Tons of draft coverage happening over there as well as we get to and some live coverage happening on draft evening as well as Locked On NFL draft. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Tell me if this sounds familiar as relayed from the great Eric Branch of the San Francisco Chronicle. Quote, this is a quote from John Lynch. We've kept in good contact. He's working out. We're encouraged that Joe's going to be a part of us. Fast forward 2 years, talking about Alex Mack. John Lynch, quote, we've had really good communication. He's training. All signs are him being a part of us. Same words. Literally the same words. What is going on? Is Alex Mack done? He just got married in Ireland. Are the 49ers going to swoop in and make some crazy draft day trade that we didn't know about to acquire a different center? Because this is getting a little curious here with Alex Mack, and he's not the youngest guy. And look, we drafted a center in our mock draft because looking ahead a year, but I think it changes things if you need a center today, right now, starting week one versus if you need a center that might start a year from now.
Yeah, very interesting. It's almost like you asked, Kyle, you know, about John Lynch. And I think, is John Lynch a computer? Like, is he just, you know, like have like this, you know how you can respond to something in the text message, but they're like these pre-written text messages.
Oh, it's like autocorrect. Yeah, got like
a... No, not autocorrect, but like say if someone calls you, you can hit a button to where it gives like this automated like response, like call you right back or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he has kind of just this, let me just hit this button. But it goes off in his brain and he spits it out of his mouth. Well, one thing we do know for sure, we can't trust it. That's for sure.
Yeah, we can't trust it. I think we know that. Yeah. But very interesting. How about this one? Emmanuel Sanders on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network was asked about Jimmy Garoppolo. And look, it's a growing list. It's pretty much unanimous. Everyone who's played with Jimmy, been in the building, coaching, everyone seems to love Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not that universally, a lot of people do love Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's not that universally well-loved outside the building for whatever reasons. So, you know, half the fan base, essentially. And I've seen it from both sides. I've seen it from both sides after I commented on this video of Emmanuel Sanders talking about Jimmy G. And basically, the quote is, Jimmy G plays with swagger. He's a natural leader. He knows who he is. And he talked about the confidence that he gave his team and the confidence. And this is an NFL veteran. Then this isn't a guy who grew up around Jimmy Garoppolo. He came in, played for the 49ers for a short time. They went to a Super Bowl that year. Jimmy famously missed him on a huge play in that Super Bowl, right? And I was kind of surprised how glowing Emmanuel Sanders was about Jimmy G. Another guy, Adrian Colbert, didn't play long with Jimmy G. Said he was the sugar that made the Kool-Aid, right? It was just, it was red water if it wasn't for Jimmy G. And it was Kool-Aid without the sugar, without Jimmy Garoppolo in the lineup. So it's really interesting. And I don't know if that means that he's got any value to anybody outside the 49ers organization, but it's just crazy that it's always consistently glowing praise about Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback and the locker room guy, really, from everybody he's ever played with.
They love him. And I don't think that's like any small feat. I think that's a big thing. For guys to back you to that extent, for guys to believe in you to that extent, right? Like, I think if you are someone who aspires to be a leader, you want guys to talk about you the way that Jimmy Garoppolo gets talked about as a leader. And it's clearly like, it's clear that that is his biggest strength. And it, and I think it is a big thing. I think that does help win games. I think there is something to that. I think there is something to guys looking at you in the huddle and knowing, oh, I'm willing to go to war with this guy and go all out. I think all those things, you have to factor it in to what Jimmy Garoppolo brings to the table. But you know one thing that guys never say about Jimmy Garoppolo? I haven't heard anyone talk about like what he actually brings on the football field. Aside from, oh, he plays with swagger. Like, all right, I played with swagger. I wasn't very good. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo, nobody ever talks about that. Like what he, you know, oh, man. Like he does, he makes this throw, or he does, man, when we, like, you don't hear those things. It's always leader, leader, leader. And that's awesome. But all right, like, he's a great leader. What does that amount to? I think it has amounted to a good amount of wins. But at some point, you need that extra something that's going to help take you over the top. And I'm not saying he can't do it. But so far, he's had a couple opportunities and he hasn't done it. And you know, most people don't. I mean, even to just get to that point, I think that's solid. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to discount going to multiple NFC championships and the Super Bowl. But you do have a loaded roster. There are a lot of quarterbacks that wish they had the team that the 49ers have. And there are a lot of people that felt like, man, if you just had this quarterback, it would take – or there are some people in my mentions saying, well, if they had Mac Jones, they would win the Super Bowl. And I think that's a little extreme, but – that just shows to the extent of people thinking they're just missing a little bit more and they would be there. And I think as awesome of a leader as he is, I think he's missing that little more as a guy that can get you over the top with his ability on the field and not just the leadership.
And it's funny because the things that are said about some of the other teams that switch quarterbacks this offseason, like with Wentz in Indianapolis and Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, like they're explaining the thing they need is what everyone says about Jimmy Garoppolo. But that you're right. It's not enough. That's one aspect of it. And it's really important. And I think it's super important as long as you can do the rest of it. And Jimmy, it's not like Jimmy. I've some mentions. So people like it's you can't be down the middle with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Because right. You're either a hater or you're because
a Jimmy sexual. That's what they call it.
Yeah. You're either a Jimmy sexual or you're a complete hater. And so some fans just give Jimmy all the credit. They want Jimmy to stick around. They hate Trey Lance. And then on the flip side, people act like Garoppolo's just trash, this garbage quarterback who shouldn't ever take the field, who's a disgrace to the sport of football, right? And it's insane how there could be that wide of a gap with people seeing the same guy when the answer is just right in the middle. And so it's pretty crazy. But I will say, when a team is evaluating, let's say, because in the landscape of who Jimmy G is right now and potentially on the trade market, definitely on the trade market. If a team wanted to go get Jimmy Garoppolo, they would probably like all of those things. And that's why they might call the 49ers and see what they're asking for, right? But at the same time, when they are from the outside and they don't have that knowledge of Jimmy Garoppolo and they don't have that same feeling that some of the players and coaches that have been around him have, and they're evaluating Jimmy Garoppolo, they're just straight up watching the film. And the film tells a different story than just how leadery you are, right? So that's why Jimmy Garoppolo's value might feel a lot different from someone who's been in the locker room with him, been in the huddle with him, and another team that has never been in the huddle with him that's just evaluating the film and trying to figure out if he's going to be their next quarterback.
Right, and I think that's the big part, right? Because, again, we've talked about it. When you bring up Jimmy Garoppolo to other fan bases, it's like, oh, no. Like, we don't want – yeah, they don't get excited at all. I mean, there's been a couple people that I feel like it's 2 out of every 10 fans from an opposing team will be like, oh, yeah, like I would love to have Jimmy Garoppolo. But it's very few. So my thing is this. Why is that? Why are there so drastic difference in opinions when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo? I still don't understand it. I feel like I'm in the middle. I feel like you're in the middle. In the middle of seeing, like, you know what? He's a solid quarterback. He is a solid quarterback. I think, as it pertains to me kind of pushing him out the door, is because you used 3 first-round picks on Trey Lance. Right. So it's like, well, he has to go. You know, but if there were no Trey Lance in the picture, I wouldn't. You know, okay, like Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback.
Yeah.
And Jimmy I would Garoppolo be okay with that. I would watch other guys and wish that my quarterback could do some of those things. Like, man, Sure, it would be nice to have a Josh Allen. Sure, it would be nice to have a Mahomes, a Watson, Watson without all this stuff. Yeah. It sure would be nice to have a Justin Herbert. Like, you see those things, it's just really fun to watch. And when you watch the 49ers and teams say, hey, man, we can't find our identity for the first 7-8 weeks of the season, but man, we found our identity now, and your identity is running the ball 40 times. And if you don't do that, you feel like you're, you know, like, that's, to me, that's when it's like, okay, we can improve at the position.
All right, that was your Jimmy Garoppolo segment for this week. And unless there's a trade, hopefully we don't have to go heavy on Jimmy Garoppolo, but that was an interesting storyline. And I just continue to see madness from 49ers fans, and it's getting worse and worse, and I feel bad for Jimmy.
That's what I'm gathering.
It's so divisive with the fan base because they just want closure. They want it to be over with, and it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. Maybe draft day, maybe, depending on what some teams do. Maybe there's some teams in the top 10 that need a quarterback that the draft goes a certain way, and then they're calling the 49ers that night. Maybe it's in July. Maybe there's an injury. I don't know, but I really feel like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be around at least until his shoulder's fully healthy in July. We have that to look forward to, Croc, every day here on Locked On 49ers. And we are not going to go down the Jimmy G road every day, but today we had to cover that one just because of how it's just amazing hearing consistently from his former teammates and coaches how much they love Jimmy Garoppolo, how much they value him, and nobody else seems to. And a lot of it is injury, which is...
I don't think it's just injury.
I think if Jimmy... Let me say this really quick, and I don't know if you agree. If Jimmy Garoppolo had 100% shoulder health this offseason, he would currently not be on the 49ers roster.
100% correct.
Yeah, okay.
And John Lynch said as much.
Yeah.
And next. Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Next, I'm going to let Croc take the floor and defend himself a little bit because people, rightfully so, are coming at him for saying that Frank Gore, the beloved Frank Gore, third all-time in rushing in NFL history, not a Hall of Famer. We'll get to that after I let the folks know about Rock Auto. With the ever increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now basically impossible for your local chain store to stock all the auto parts you need. And why would you go there first when you know that they can't stock everything you need and endure those often pointless, seemingly intimidating questions about your Odyssey? Is it an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter looks at their little computer screen and really chooses the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. And then, oh, by the way, charges you 30, 50, 100% markup on the very same parts that you can get right in your pocket at rockauto.com. For example, that same Honda Odyssey, a fuel pump would be $353 from a chain store, only $216 from Rock Auto. The same part, and Rock Auto has been a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. So go to rockauto.com, whether it's just some, you know, new brake pads, tail lamps, you need some new carpet for the interior of your vehicle, motor oil, jumper cables, whatever it is, you can find it at rockauto.com. So go there right now, rockauto.com, see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Croc, I know you got to get this off your chest because it's just some blasphemous statements on Locked On 49ers. And I cannot believe you said that Frank Gore is not a Hall of Famer. I'm going to let you rebut the folks that came at you today because some folks came out hard. And I know there's a lot of 49ers fans out there that were blown away to hear you say that.
I do believe that he will make the Hall of Fame. Let's start by saying that. You know, you look at everything he's done. You know, third all time in rushing yards. He had a bunch of 1,000-yard seasons. I think it's like 11 or something like that. All amazing, right? And I think he was a terrific football player in his time. And I think he meant so much to the 49ers. There were a time, 49ers, we talked about some of the numbers. We'd say 18 passing touchdowns over an entire season with multiple quarterbacks. And, you know, Frank Gore had to play with that a lot of times. Like,
did you say 18?
Was that what it was? 18?
Eight.
Oh, my God.
It was eight touchdowns and 21 interceptions.
That is crazy, right? So having to play with that and having to shoulder that, like, that is tough. His second year had the best year of his career on the ground. Terrific. I think he's a really good football player. But here's my pushback. And, again, maybe I just don't know what it means to be a Hall of Famer. Maybe that's it. Because my big brother, diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, shout out to my brother BJ, he thinks that, oh yeah, Frank Gore, he's a Hall of Famer. And I asked him, well, why do you think that? He said, well, because of longevity. And he was good and blah, blah. Now, my thing is this, as it pertains to the Hall of Fame, and I've heard Richard Sherman kind of explain it this way, and I kind of view it the same way. It is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer? That was a big thing going around social media. And Richard Sherman was like, how is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer when he was never the best at his position? Never, ever. Nobody ever considered Matthew Stafford the best. Yeah, he played on some crappy teams. Again, different because you got a quarterback and a running back we're talking about. But just in this grand scheme of things, okay, play on some crappy teams. But we also saw, you know, Joe Burrow, what he did with a crappy team and how it turned around real quick, having an elite receiver. Obviously, Matthew Stafford had Calvin Johnson. But anyways, he basically was saying, how are you a Hall of Famer, which is the highest, that's the pinnacle of football. Like, that's for the elite of the elite, the special of the special. How are you a Hall of Famer and you were never the best in your generation? Now, I'm not saying there are guys that maybe don't fit that criteria that are already in the Hall of Famer. I don't know. But my thing is, when you look at Frank Gore, is there any time throughout his career where you said he's the best running back? Was there any time throughout his career when you said he's the second best running back? Was there any time throughout his career when you said he's the third best running back? And I'd say the answer more times to any of those questions, if you go year by year, is probably no. So for me, I get the longevity. I get the yards. That's awesome. Another guy that put up terrific numbers playing a long time, London Fletcher. I don't think he's ever going to be in the Hall of Fame. All right. People don't know. London Fletcher, second leading tackler in NFL history behind only Ray Lewis. All right. But again, when it comes to Frank Gore, I think he's terrific. And I'm going to come off as a hater. I love Frank Gore. I love the way he ran. I think he has one of the more unique and underrated run styles. I never saw him go backwards. I always felt like he was going forward. He could find the smallest of cracks and pick up 4 yards. That's something where it's like, how did he do that? And it doesn't seem like something big, but I just thought that was so amazing. There were a lot of things about his game that I thought were terrific. But even then, I just never viewed him as the best running back ever, like in any season. So that's my only argument. If you're never the best, you know, top three running back ever, how are you going to get into the most prestigious thing in the NFL? I just have an issue with that. Yeah. But I love Frank Gore. I don't want to come off as if I don't like Frank Gore. Obviously, I'm just kind of defending my logic. And obviously, you have a lot of 49er fans who are really close to the situation, and they love Frank Gore. He's an amazing person, all-pro person, Hall of Fame teammate, all those things. I just think he was a terrific football player, really good. But for me, it's like, all right, well, what's the standards of getting into the Hall of Fame?
I think one of the things that would be the most interesting is to ask fan bases around the league, and 49ers fans can't vote, because that's how you know who the true Hall of Famers are, when the fan base of that player doesn't have a vote. Does everybody else say, oh, that's a Hall of Famer? And I think redoundingly, Frank Gore is like a ring of honor, and 49ers fans love him. And I know he put up a ton of stats, but I think I agree with you that the bar for the Hall of Fame should probably be raised a little bit higher, because almost everyone gets in, which is why Frank Gore is for sure getting. I think it's just an auto. You're number three all time rushing yards, auto election right there. He's in. Like, Frank Gore is going to get into the Hall of Fame. But I agree with everything else you said there too. It's more about, if you ask fans around the league, Frank Gore Hall of Famer. Don't look at the stats. Don't look at anything, because you feel a Hall of Famer, right? Like, I would. Yeah, Bo Jackson's a Hall of Famer. And he doesn't have squat for stats, right? Because he didn't play long enough. But just the impact that he had. I would even say, line up behind Roger Craig. Roger Craig in the Hall first. The first ever 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard rusher, unique player, right? But he doesn't have the stats, and he's never going to get in. So Frank Gore is a really good player and played well for a really long time. And I think he did enough to have a lifetime achievement award of have the rushing yards. And when you go that high on the rushing yards list all time, you're going to be a Hall of Famer. But I agree with the other things you said, Croc. And so the bar should be higher for Hall of Famers.
If you went year by year, like throughout his entire career, and you listed the top five running backs and you had people vote on who was the best, he might finish last in the voting each time. If you included him each time in the voting, he might finish last. Because, I mean, there were some guys that had some great seasons. And he really good seasons. And that 1,600 yards or 1,700, almost 1,700 yards, that's a great year. That was the second year in the NFL. He played a lot more years after that and had some good seat, like good running back. I think he's good. I think he's very good. I just, Hall of Fame, what, maybe I'm just off on how to get in. And if I am, that's my bad. I heard somebody mention Curtis Martin, and then people looked up the numbers. It's like, damn, Curtis Martin, he played, 11 years, and like 10 of those years he ran for over 1,000, and the only year he didn't, it was because he only played half the games. I think that was his last year, and he was still on pace to go over 1,000. Like, that's remarkable. Like, and Frank Gore has some of those achievements, and I get it, but also what Curtis Martin had, like league MVP and all these other all-pro first team and all these other achievements that Frank Gore doesn't necessarily have. So it's tough. I sound like this is the whole Jimmy Garoppolo thing again, where I'm going to come off as a hater. People are going to tell me I don't like Gore. I think he sucks. And oh, Eric, we're going to boycott listening to Locked On 49ers because you don't think Frank Gore is going to be in the Hall of Fame. I see people on Twitter, 49 people, and the one thing that they talk about is how much he meant to the 49ers. They don't talk about how much he meant to the rest of the NFL.
To the league, right. And that's sort of my point about Hall of Famers is everybody knows, everybody's fan base knows when somebody's a Hall of Famer. Like, that dude is a Hall of Famer. And I think part of it is seeing late career Frank Gore too. And maybe boxing career Frank Gore hurts him a little bit in the minds of some. Because I think about, there's young people out there. I mean, not even that young anymore, but people who got to see Randy Moss's prime but didn't see Jerry Rice's prime. And they think Randy Moss was a better receiver than Jerry Rice because they saw like cornrows that started halfway through the back of his head playing for the Raiders, you know, skinny, old, slow Jerry Rice. That's what they think of with Jerry Rice. I'm like, oh, man, you guys missed out on Flash 80, right? There was a whole career that you didn't see. And the early days of Frank Gore were pretty awesome and pretty remarkable. Seeing him squirt through those little holes in the line, and all of a sudden this dude who's not a burner is breaking loose into the secondary. You're like, how did Frank Gore do that? He was magic. He was amazing. Never went backward. He was really impactful, really important for a winning team. But you're right. He was never the team MVP. He was a heart and soul player, but he wasn't the most important part of the recipe for the 49ers teams that were really good. He was never the best player at his position in the league. You know, he wasn't a league MVP. He wasn't a first team all pro or anything like that. So for that reason, I understand where you're at, Croc. And he was happened to play for a long time and amassed a lot of rushing yards. And I think he put together a resume that's going to get him into the Hall of Fame. But I do agree that the Hall of Fame bar is set a little bit too low right now. It should be really difficult to get in the hall. It should be like unanimous. It'd be like, of course, this guy's a Hall of Famer. Or if you have to argue about it too long, then they're not a Hall of Famer. It should be easy.
It should be this. When you look at like three running backs over the time that he played, and is he top three? Like from 2005 to 2020 when he retired, is he one of the three best running backs that played throughout that time? And if he's not, How do you get in? Because in that list, I mean, you got LaDainian Tomlinson. You got Adrian Peterson. I mean, there are some terrific running backs. There's some other guys that had these big-time feats. Now, again, I'm not saying that, like, well, most people are going to be like, well, if that's it, then most people aren't going to get in. Well, I don't think most people should get in.
If the Hall of Fame was half as big, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I will say that all the guys you're talking about who were ahead of him are also in the Hall of Fame, right? So those are his peers. So it's not really knocking a guy to say, well, you weren't the best running back in the league because running back A and running back B were better than you. Well, they're both Hall of Famers too, right? Like Adrian Peterson's going to get in. Edgerrin James is in. LaDainian Tomlinson's in, right? They're all Hall of Famers. So that's just...
I mean, Edgerrin James, like I saw somebody say, like he had like 1,500 or 1,600 yard seasons. And it's like, damn, like Clinton Portis, he's not going to get in. No. But like his peak, I mean, best running back in the league. Like you could say that. Like he was traded for Champ Bailey, who was arguably the best corner in the league.
Oh, such a swindle that trade was too. Being able to send off a Shanahan outside zoning back, you know, and being like, oh, we make these guys in a lab. We pick these guys up off the street and make 1,000-yard backs out of them. You're gonna give me a shutdown corner and Champ Bailey for this guy? Oh, that was one of the most swindle trades in my lifetime was Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey.
So Clinton Portis, I got his numbers pulled up right here. Right away, rookie year, 1,500 yards. Second year, almost 1,600 yards. Third year, over 1,300 yards. Fourth year, over 1,500 yards. Missed a lot of games that next year. So the next year after that, over 1,200, over 1,400, almost 1,500. Like, you know, and it's like Frank Gore. Now, he didn't play as long as Gore. So that's the thing. But when you talk about the peaks of, like, when this dude was doing all this, you know, like, well, he did some of it before Frank Gore got into the league. But it's like that, like, to me.
Frank Gore only had, so let's see. Frank Gore had the one 1,600-yard season his second year. If you were just comparing Frank Gore and Clinton Portis's best rushing seasons, Frank Gore has the best at 1,600 yards, but then Portis has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the next six best.
Right. And that's not including the touchdowns. 15 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns. Like, he might have almost as much.
That was the Shanahan Kubiak run game.
We can say that, but Clinton Portis was really good. I mean, because even when he went to Washington, there's still almost 1,300 yards, almost 1,500 yards. Like, he still ran for, in two seasons, 20 touchdowns. Like, and that's not even including. I mean, there were guys that had some good years. Priest Holmes, like, I mean, Jamal Lewis. And I would say this, and I'll end on this. Again, if you, again, go year by year and list four other running backs and include Frank Gore in that, or we'll do for Twitter purposes, three running backs and include Frank Gore in there and say who was the best, he would finish with the lowest percent. And you, if you go year by year, from 2015 all the way through, if no 49ers vote.
Is there an amount of longevity? Is there an amount of career rushing yards that a player could attain that you'd be like, oh, that's a no-doubt Hall of Famer right there? Like, let's say Frank Gore played four more seasons and had the same types of seasons he already had, and he was the number one rushing leader of all time. Is he then a Hall of Famer? He was not better player. He just did the same thing for longer.
Yeah. I like him a lot. Again, I already know people already turned this off. They're like, hell no, Croc, what are you talking about?
All right.
No, I love Frank Gore. I got to continue to make that clear. Love Frank Gore. Love Frank Gore.
I had to give you that opportunity.
Y'all gonna disagree.
I had to give you that opportunity to come back because some folks are mad at you, Croc. But we got to get out of here. I want to thank everybody for making us your first listen. Hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can find Croc, noted Frank Gore, and Jimmy Garoppolo hater at Eric_Crocker on Twitter. Find him on Locked On NFL Draft as well. No doubt breaking down the latest massive trade that involves a lot of draft picks between the Eagles and the Saints and everything going on in the NFL draft leading up to and after draft day. Croc and I back tomorrow, a little winky Wednesday action right here. Locked On 49ers.